I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Gut Glow Podcast. Following a cancer diagnosis in my 30s, my goal is to inspire and empower people on their self-care journey. Through the conversations I have with my guests, we hope to do just that.
There is a plan, and believe that if you're at rock bottom and you're suffering, this is all part of your life, your tapestry. This is your story, and where you go next is what's crucial.
Although I went through a tough time, it showed me how someone could still love me at my lowest and at my weakest, because the love before was easy, but the love at my lowest was real.
So deep down, we all know what we want in life. We all know what makes us happy. We all know the life we dreamed about. And deep down, we all know what we're capable of if you only give yourself permission to do it.
I now live a healthy and fulfilled life where self-care is a top priority and every day is an opportunity to grow. This season of the Gut Glow Podcast is brought to you with thanks to Ireland's leading pharmacy chain, Lloyds Pharmacy. We're finally getting some sun and it's so important to keep our skin protected. Luckily, Lloyds Pharmacy's highly trained skin experts can provide the best SPF advice and tailored recommendations to suit you and your family. Visit lloydspharmacy.ie for all your sun care and skin care needs. Lloyds Pharmacy, say hello to the people that know. Hello, I hope you're well and I hope you're having a good week. I had a productive one. I got lots done. I wrote two blog posts this week. The first is about my latest aha moment and the second one is all about our journey to the Gut Glow Wellness Programme. So our wellness program is an online course that we designed based around my pillars of self-care, which are habits, joy, self-worth, nourishment, and nature. I am so thrilled with all the feedback that we are getting about our course. And I know people are especially loving the fact that they can take it in their own time and complete the modules at their own pace. So if you want to read those blog posts, you can head over to thegutglow.ie. Where do I begin with this week's guest? I'm going to tell you the story from the start. Louise Thompson is someone who I've always admired. She started out in Made in Chelsea and she's gone on to create a gorgeous wellness brand. And I love her content online and she always makes me feel happy when I watch her stories. So she's always been top of my list. And a couple of weeks ago, I decided to bite the bullet and reach out and see if she'd consider being a guest. So I reached out and the next day she announced her pregnancy. Her pregnancy announcement was a gorgeous one. It was so authentic. In it, Louise spoke about how the first 3 months were a very worrying time for herself and Ryan, that there was no before and after pics, no big fancy pregnancy reveal. She spoke very truthfully about how worried she felt and how flat she felt. And I really connected with how honest and open she was. And I think it's so refreshing for people to see that, okay, there is a certain amount of people that just get pregnant and it's easy and that's great. But there is also other women on a different journey. And I think by coming out and speaking from the heart, that helps so many people who may feel less alone in whatever they're facing. And I think Louise is doing such an incredible job of that. I didn't know on the day if she'd feel comfortable opening up about what she's been through over the last 3 years, but she brought her true self to the table. And I loved every second of this conversation. And I know you will too. Louise, thank you so much for coming on to the Gut Glow today. I have been following you for years and I love everything you do. So thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. That's such a lovely thing to hear. It's such a lovely introduction. This is actually my first ever podcast, so I'm a little bit nervous. And you'll have to stop me if I speak too quickly, because when I get either excited or nervous, I speak really, really fast. And then I forget to breathe. And then things get really bad.
Oh, I'm sure you're a pro. I just cannot believe that you've never recorded a podcast before.
I know. You know, I've had a couple of invitations and it's actually something that I have always wanted to do. I'm a big fan of listening to podcasts. I love listening to other people's. But I also have a bit of a fear of public speaking, which is crazy. considering that I worked in television for so long and I had obviously loads of cameras in my face and lots of mic packs. But something about it, I don't know, I think because I used to have like very perfectionist tendencies and I'm a bit of a control freak, which is something that I'm really trying to move away from. It always stopped me from doing them. And, you know, last year even it got really bad to the point where I would listen to podcasts in a bath. Like, it's a ritual of mine. I love listening to them. And I would listen to these podcasts and listen to these amazing, inspiring people and think, oh my goodness, if I was asked that question, would I be able to come up with that answer? Why don't I know that? Why did these people know so much? They're so witty and funny and, you know, how would I handle it? And, you know, I've come to the realization now that you can only know what you know and you can only do your best and be yourself. And especially, you know, with everything, I guess, that happened last year, I kind of just realized life is so short and it's important not to sit in your comfort zone and to do new things and meet new people. And you're lovely. So I knew that this was a good one to do. But I probably should have practiced on a slightly smaller one first.
No, do you know what I think? I think with podcasts, when you speak from the heart, people really connect with it. And I think that's why people have connected with my podcast, because I have women on who just speak their truth. And you're always going to find people that you connect with through speaking your truth. And I think that's the great thing about podcasts, is that it makes women realize they're not alone in whatever they might be facing or going through. And I think you are doing such an amazing job at that. I don't know if you know, but I actually reached out to your PR the day before your pregnancy announcement.
Oh, really?
And I saw your pregnancy announcement the next day. And then I contacted them and I said, no, leave her. I'll get back in touch in a few months, because your pregnancy announcement really touched me. It was so authentic. And I just really felt it. So what was that week like for you?
Oh, the whole thing has actually been a roller coaster. You know, it's crazy. You kind of spend most of your teens, your 20s, early 20s, I mean, you know, depending on your lifestyle and obviously who you are, but not wanting to get pregnant. And then something switches and you kind of find yourself in a position where you're so ready to have a baby and you're so desperate for it. And my partner and I had been trying to conceive for maybe 3 years with no luck. And, you know, in the beginning, it was sort of, you know, I was pretty relaxed about things fertility wise. And then over time, you know, I kept seeing a lot of other people get pregnant. It was everywhere I looked. And, you know, I started to feel a bit fearful about our kind of fertility future. Anyway, so we kind of went to speak to a couple of different people, went to, you know, have all my like gynecologist checkups and things like that, and sought out some really good advice. And then we did actually eventually fall pregnant last year, which was really exciting. And actually, I mean, I'm so honest, like I don't know any way other than to be really honest. I'll probably overshare a lot, but I was actually gonna start taking a medication that stimulates ovulation to kind of give us a slightly better hope. You know, we weren't gonna go down the IVF route yet. We didn't feel the doctor didn't feel that was necessary at this stage. So anyway, we were going to start doing that. And then I actually fell pregnant naturally. So I was really, really excited. And then at the beginning of this year, I suffered with a miscarriage, which was overwhelmingly tough. I mean, I had no idea how connected I would feel to something that, you know, hadn't been born yet. And to be honest, I hadn't even seen the heartbeat at that stage, but I just fell madly in love with this baby, this unborn baby. And yeah, it was a really, really tough time. And then, you know, I was very fortunate because I actually did, I have a couple of friends. It's crazy, you know, they say miscarriages happen to 1 in 4 women, or 1 in 4 pregnancies even. So they are a lot more common than you would ever know. At the time when it happened to me, I really didn't know those statistics. None of my friends had ever, you know, spoken to me about something like this before. You know, I didn't even realize that my own mother had had one. There's just, yeah, it's crazy. It's a bit of a taboo subject. So when it happened, I had I spoke to a couple of friends about it, close friends, and then I realized that a couple of my very close friends had also been through something very similar. And they filled me with hope, and we spoke about it a lot, which was the best therapy ever. And actually, they had, a couple of my friends had had babies recently when I had suffered the miscarriage, but they'd been through a miscarriage before. And so they said, you know, just keep trying, try and be really positive. And actually, we did fall pregnant pretty soon after, which was amazing and felt like a miracle, especially after 3 years of you know, having a bit of a rocky road. But you know, the first 12 weeks were really tough because of what had happened before. And whilst obviously I was incredibly grateful to have conceived and to have this baby growing inside me, I just didn't feel reassured by anything that I read or any conversation I had with anybody that it was going to turn out well. And, you know, I have a couple of friends who would come around to say to my house, like, okay, so lots of my good friends have had babies during COVID. I said there's a sort of post-COVID baby boom. Honestly, yes. 10 of my best friends. And one of my friends came around last year during COVID, but, you know, obviously when there was a break in the kind of lockdown restrictions, and she had come off the pill and got pregnant straight away. And she was around at my house and was just so kind of carefree. You know, she was like, oh, I've just had my 20-week scan. That's my last scan. I've had two scans. And in my mind, after you have a miscarriage, that sort of blissful naivety is taken away from you. The whole process is just such a different experience, because you are just full of fear. And I felt really unwell as well, which didn't make it easy. So I felt really flat, and yeah, it was tough. But then, so I didn't announce it actually after 3 months. I waited a little bit longer just because I wanted to really make sure that things were progressing well, by which point I'd probably already had 5 scans, to be completely honest. And yeah, then I shared my story with all my followers, and I suppose the best thing to do is to be open and honest and vulnerable, because you help so many more people that way, but also you open up like an opportunity for other people to share their stories in an honest way. And I actually found that even with, so I have this sort of bowel condition called ulcerative colitis. When I started speaking about that a couple of years ago, one of the best things that I found that happened off the back of speaking about it was that I allowed other people who had maybe associated shame with that topic to be able to speak to their friends and family about it. And also, you know, not even that they would have to go out and talk about it, that people would ask about it.
Yes.
So people that hadn't experienced it would ask about it. They would want to know more because someone in the public space had spoken about it. So suddenly it becomes a little bit more normal.
Mm. And I think that's why I was so blown away by your pregnancy announcement, the way you wrote it. You know, there's so many people on a journey. I'm in the process of doing surrogacy in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And I just think it helps so much when people speak their truth. And of course, there is a certain amount of women who will get pregnant and it's all very easy, and that is so great for them. Mm. But it really helps when people in the public eye who have a platform like yours come out and say, by the way, it wasn't easy for me. And then I just think that just relieves pressure off so many people.
First of all, I really hope that your surrogacy journey goes well. I'm really, really interested to hear more about that, because especially now that I've spoken to more people about fertility, I mean, you know, people are going through so much, and there's so many different avenues that people go down in order to be blessed with a little baby. And you actually do have a 4-year-old daughter who is beautiful.
Thank you.
Fertility is the one thing that, unfortunately, you know, when people say, oh, I'm going to get a bit emotional now, but when people say, if you work hard enough in life, you can get anywhere, or you can have anything, you can achieve anything. But sadly, with fertility, you just don't always have that choice and that control. It is something that is slightly out of our hands. And it's just the hardest definitely the hardest journey that I've ever been on. And I haven't even had to go down the route of IVF or surrogacy. So, I love the fact that people can open up about it, share experiences. I would love actually to create like a bit of a forum, because I know there are a lot of forums out there, aren't there, with a lot of people's opinions on them. I think they're like highly unregulated forums.
Yes.
With a lot of good and bad advice. But I think there need to be more positive platforms where people can share their experiences. But I suppose your podcast is a really amazing platform to be able to talk about it a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have a safe space and to share your story without feeling like you're going to be judged or someone's going to say, well, that's actually not the way I did it, so you're doing it the wrong way. I think, especially in Ireland, over the last couple of years, we've come to a place where we can openly speak about miscarriage and share stories. And there's some amazing women in Ireland that are like leading the way in that space. I've had a few of them on my podcast, Sinead Tingston, Rebecca Horan, and my God, the support they get. And I think when you share your story, you're embraced by so many people and that kind of keeps you going. In terms of your friends, and you said your friends really helped you get through that time, did you find that telling them how you felt helped?
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, I've been through a lot of ups and downs in life, like, you know, suffered with some drinking issues in the past and other things, but I've never found anything as tough as this. And I've never found speaking to people. I've never actually sought out friendships to talk about something so much. And I think, so obviously it was during COVID, there were a lot of just WhatsApp conversations, a lot of voice notes back and forth. We weren't seeing each other in the flesh. But a lot, and you know, obviously I was just so lucky that I had the right people in my life. It was almost, I feel blessed to have had these four girlfriends who had been through something incredibly similar, who had the best advice to give, because I don't know what I would have done without them. A couple of other things that I did was I did journal a lot, and I actually even created a WhatsApp group. I have a lot of WhatsApp groups with myself.
Really?
So it's just like me. So it's not really a group, is it? Well, I do have two phones, but it's me and myself, me, myself and I. So I have one that's called Smiley. And actually initially it was to track my ovulation cycle, which is because I don't know if you've ever done like an ovulation stick before, but it will show you a smiley face if you're ovulated. So I sort of called it that. And then when I did fall pregnant, I started to actually just write down exactly how I felt at all times when something popped into my head. So it might be really bad cramp on the right side, like feeling really swollen, like elevated heart rate, nosebleed, all these crazy symptoms and things. But it just really helped to be able to log it and just put it somewhere that wasn't harboring in my head. And the mad thing is I never thought that I'd be like publishing it or sharing it or even talking about it today. But I have a friend who has been going through another fertility journey, and she's done IVF and had quite a few failed attempts. And actually, amazingly, she now is pregnant. So I'm so excited for her. But she's a few months behind me, and she was really worried during the first trimester because she had really horrible symptoms. And I actually sent her a screen record of just scrolling through this WhatsApp group that I have with myself as like a comforting reminder. There's so much stuff that we do go through that no one really talks about, especially because the first 3 months are, you know, relatively secret. You're not really allowed to share because it's still like the danger zone. So no one really talks about their experiences. And then when you get beyond that, you start to feel, or hopefully most people start to feel a little bit better. So you're kind of, you know, blooming and in a better mood, and you've forgotten about the anxiety in the past. For me, I had no idea that I was going to feel quite so rough. So being able to share that support with my other friend was actually a really nice thing to be able to do. And I guess
love that idea. I'm gonna start a WhatsApp group with myself today.
I have different ones. I'll have like a relationship one. So if me and my fiance are having a bad time, I'll just make little notes to myself. the best thing to do. And I have such an overactive mind anyway. I think way too much. So I have to release things somewhere.
And do you know that someday that you'll write a book and you'll have all the hard work done because you've written things down along the way?
100%.
When it comes to everything you've experienced over the last 3 years and the journey you've been on, you have this amazing wellness business and brand. Did you feel yourself turning to wellness to get through those tougher days?
Oh, that's such a good question. Yes. I mean, so the wellness brand was something that I sort of evolved into maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it's because I made it really evolved purely off the fact that I made some, I say huge changes, but they would have been lots of little compounded habits that I started implementing that then completely transformed my life. Like some of, you know, a lot of that was down to kind of not drinking so much and starting exercising a lot and eating really well and surrounding myself with positive people and actually learning how to say no, because I used to be the biggest people pleaser ever and I did everything for everybody else and never made any decisions really for myself. I was just the entertainer. But I so that's been a sort of a way of life for me for a while. And I set up my fitness brand, so yeah, Turtle, about 2 or 3 years ago when I left Made in Chelsea. And that has been amazing because it's just an incredible community, like a bit of a tribe that we've built. And throughout lockdown, I honestly don't know where I would have been without all of those women, because we did. It was an amazing place where we could support each other. We were working out a lot together. There were a lot of intimate Zoom conversations about important topics. And we really did kind of pick each other up when we needed it. What's strange about with the whole pregnancy thing is that to be completely honest, for the first 3 months, I really looked at everything that I'd learned from my past and at all the wellness tips that I'd ever passed on to everybody else. And at some points when I felt so low, it was frustrating because I couldn't even like abide by the advice that I gave to other people. I'm being really, really, probably overly honest now. You know, I think when you're in a bad place, you know, there are things you can do to pick yourself up. When you're in an okay place, you know, use those same tools and you could, it's a little bit easier, isn't it, to get into a better place. When you're kind of on top of the world, it's very, very, very easy to be healthy, to eat well, to be really happy, smiling all the time, you know, really social. You know, when life is good, it's the easiest thing to maintain good health. And I'm almost glad now that I have like a wider spectrum of understanding and more empathy towards people that are in a really bad place, because it's not as easy as just, oh yeah, just get out of bed really early that morning and go into a workout and oh, you know, don't eat lots of chocolate and you'll feel really good. So during the first 3 months of my pregnancy, I felt so flat. It wasn't, in the past I've experienced huge highs and huge lows, and I thought I suffered with depression. And I've been really angry and really sad and really upset and literally, quite literally, have pulled my hair out over certain situations, you know, most of them down to, most of them due to kind of really toxic relationships. Mm. But with this pregnancy, it was more a flatness that I just didn't feel anything. I felt no lease for life. I didn't want to see anyone. You know, I would look at a bunch of flowers and instead of thinking, oh wow, they're beautiful flowers, or let's see whether they smell nice, look at the colors, I just thought, oh, flowers are pointless. And I think that was definitely down to hormones, but it was very, very scary for me as someone that has built up this incredible resilience to hardship and negative experiences, and I've kind of created this wellness bubble around me. It was really hard to not be able to combat that through simple techniques. But yeah, no, having people to speak to within our community has been amazing. And I did try, which is very Louise of me, I did try and shut myself off a little bit so that I could fix myself before then integrating within the community again, and before like sharing my stories. I wanted to kind of work on the really bad stuff before, you know, so that I felt slightly more complete and whole and positive to then be able to share and to kind of rationalize like how I wanted to share my story. But then obviously I was reminded that actually the more you again, the more vulnerable you are and the more open you are and the more you cry, just it helps everybody, doesn't it? It helps yourself and it helps the other people. And yeah, and a lot of my clients actually have been through similar experiences too, and a lot of them are actually slightly older generation to me, so it's really nice to get their opinions on things. It's a real mixed yes. group of demographics.
I hope you are enjoying my podcast with the incredible Louise Thompson. I'll get straight back to that conversation. But first, I wanted to thank Lloyd's Pharmacy for supporting The Good Glow. Do you struggle to perfect your skincare routine? Find it hard to choose the best products to suit your skin? Well, you don't need to. Lloyd's Pharmacy offer one-to-one private consultations with their highly trained skin consultants who can advise the best routine and products to suit your skincare needs. Pop in and ask today. Many of their pharmacies are open late and on weekends. For a full list of services and the latest mega deals, head over to lloydspharmacy.ie.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks ago, I went on my Instagram and said, like, I feel like there's a bit of a dark cloud over me. Mm. And I think since I verbalized that, you just feel like you've almost given yourself a break from maybe pretending that everything is okay. And I think you're really embraced when you say things like that, you know, when you're like, look, it's just a bad time. And for me, I can so relate to what you're saying about wellness there, because, you know, I really turned to wellness after my cancer and it really helped me get back on my feet. But there's certainly times like last October, November, where nothing, no jog around the block or no beautiful soup or, you know, a yoga session could lift me out. I think it's so important for people to know that. And and you know, from the outside in, looking at your life, it's so beautiful, but it's really nice to know that we all have our ups and downs. And how are you feeling now?
So I do feel a lot better, and that is the optimistic point here, is that, like, you know, all bad feelings do pass and change is just around the corner. So you have to be open-minded and open-hearted. And when I got to about 15, 16 weeks, I suddenly, mentally, I felt a lot better. It must have been a huge hormone shift. I'm so small and I'm so sensitive to absolutely everything in my body. So these hormones literally hit me like a ton of bricks, and I just was telling them to go away. Because deep down, I knew that it was going to be a temporary thing. I was praying that it was going to go away. And then, like magic, things did get better and things picked up, and I had a month of bliss. And it was sort of when lockdown lifted, so I went out a lot, saw a lot of people, saw a lot of my family members, lunches, events. I started working a lot with my new pregnancy body, doing photo shoots and stuff. That was an interesting time. And then and it was great. And now I've slightly retreated again, because I kind of think, oh, wow, you know, it's a lot to go from not really doing anything for a year. There hasn't been like a wrap up with COVID. There hasn't been a, okay, guys, it's all over. We haven't all stood outside in a big old park and said, it's over. Now we can resume life as normal. And it's as though we're expected just to be able to kind of reintegrate with society again. Yeah, it's a funny one to wrap your head around. But I went out a lot and I was doing a lot, and now I feel as though I want to do slightly less and find a bit of a balance in between, because, you know, I don't want to go all gung-ho and then burn out. So I'm trying to make sure that I don't know, that I really look after myself during the next 6 months of the pregnancy. But also I have a lot on my plate with running businesses. And also I'm doing a home renovation project. So I'm not actually living at home at the moment, which has been one of the hardest things to wrap my head around, because I've lived in the same house for 10 years and I had such a routine. And my whole routine has been completely demolished. So now I'm kind of working out a new one.
Don't they say like moving and all those things are like home renovations are some of the most stressful things you could do? So when you now, are you good at trusting your gut? Do you feel like you connect with your intuition?
Definitely. I'm very in tune with my body and I am pretty in tune with my intuition. And I try and listen to it as much as possible. In the past, I've been a bit of a bulldozer and I always try and push and take things one step further. But I think actually since I turned 30, which was last year, I've slowed down a lot and I've connected with myself a lot more. I actually invested in a life coach for the first time ever, just as we went into lockdown, which is crazy. Mad timing. I mean, it wasn't on purpose at all. I had no idea, obviously, that COVID was going to hit us.
That's so interesting, because I had Claire Solon on my podcast last week. She lives in London, Irish girl, works for BBC Radio 2, and also has a life coach. Now, in Ireland, not many of us have life coaches. Mm-hmm. So what are you getting from that?
To be honest, I've never, ever sought out a life coach before in my life. And it was such a new phenomenon to me too. I did a 6 month period with her and I would speak to her every single Monday for an hour, but it ended up being 2 hours because there was so much to unravel. And yeah. it was less, you know, her telling me what to do and how to live my life, but more conversational. She would draw things out of me that I never knew about myself, which then started to make me understand myself a lot better. And I understood a lot more than about my childhood and where all of my personality traits and things came from. And she taught me ways to kind of rejig my thought processes. And also she taught me just to slow down and give myself a break and to enjoy life a bit more and to go out and do things that I want to do. And she introduced me to Nidra yoga and like going to flotation baths and, you know, a whole new world of self-care that I think was really important. So it was a sort of all encompassing thing. It wasn't just business oriented, although she was actually, it was very helpful when it came to business as well. I guess all of that stuff is connected, isn't it? Like everything that you do in life is so connected to how you are on the inside. And I had a lot to work on. I think having worked in TV for 10 years and especially on a reality show, being told what to do, who to be, what to say, to have an argument, and then also constantly analyzing yourself because you feel like you've said the wrong thing and then they've aired a certain part of the conversation that wasn't what you wanted, and then also dealing with the scrutiny from the public. It just is overwhelming for someone to go through all of that, I think, in their 20s, and it can be really damaging on the mind. So it was a really nice thing to be able to do with a lovely lady that actually was not that much older than me, and we ended up becoming good friends.
Oh, that's so good. And what I was saying there about my episode from last week with Claire Solon, I think you'd really enjoy it. It's about, you know, being your own best friend and loving yourself first. But she said that when she went to a life coach, which is pretty similar to what you've described, is it's almost like holding a mirror up.
Yeah.
So it's everything you know, but it's almost like she brings your subconscious to your conscious. So I love that. I might have to get myself a life coach.
Yes. Even if it's just for a certain period of time, I think it's really eye-opening.
Yeah.
I guess for you though, you have amazing conversations like this quite regularly, which might actually do a similar sort of thing if you're talking about a lot of deep topics.
Yeah, and like what you were saying earlier about like your tribe, I really get that from the Good Glow community. It's so nice to be a part of a community with like-minded people, I think. Even if that's two people, It doesn't have to be thousands. If you, I think it's hard also to make new friends as an adult. But like you said, now your life coach is your friend because you're on the same wavelength. And it's so nice to connect with like-minded people as we make the journey through life, I think.
That's such an interesting point, because when I was younger, my friends were always just the people that I was in a friendship group with at school. And then the same thing at university. They were people that were similar to me on the outside, not necessarily inner values, but where do you come from? Oh, yeah, you're from London too. Cool. So we have that in common. Or we're a similar age, or we're from a similar socioeconomic group. Whereas even since, again, since I turned 30 and sort of since we went into lockdown, I've completely changed my who I'd consider to be a really good friend. I say completely, obviously I still have good, you know, old friends from my childhood and whatever else, but the people that I really value are people, exactly as you said, who are like-minded people. Like my tribe, my community is incredible, and actually none of my friends, funnily enough, are part of my fitness community, which is weird that I've sort of kept them really separate. I think that's maybe a safety thing. But then even looking at my good friendships, I just hang out with people now that make me feel good. Anybody that brings out any negative thoughts, I can no longer really spend time with them, because life is really too short and you don't need to be part of a group that has been formed because you were in the same year at school together. Like, that's not really how things work as you progress into adulthood. And it's such a great realization to have, because it means that I don't need to be part of a clique. It's not, you know, it's no longer about being invited to everything and, you know, being, the most popular girl at school. Life is about so much more than that.
And when you look back, when you were saying there about, you know, the TV, that part of your life in your 20s, has that impacted your 30s? Have you been able to kind of, obviously there's going to be an element of reality TV that's a little bit toxic and maybe sparks anxiety, and I presume that's only natural, but have you parked it? Have you moved on? Do you feel like you were able to kind of let that go?
Yeah, finally now, yes. I mean, I'm really bad. I've always been quite bad with change, and I've always been quite bad at making decisions for myself, as I mentioned before. And it's taken me a while, but I feel so, I feel so far removed from it now, which is really great. And it was so important for me because, you know, at one stage of my life, I could have been the person that would have stuck around in it till I was 40. Now I look at that person, I think, oh, if that had been me. I mean, I was going to film a wedding on TV, on national TV, and I'm still not married. And my friends always ask me, oh, why are you not married? I say that makes it out to me that's really annoying people, but people often comment on it. They ask when we're going to get married. And we got engaged probably 3 or 4 years ago. All my other friends are married. But the truth is that if I'd got married a year after I got engaged, it would have been very made in Chelsea. It would have been a public spectacle. There would have been a Hello magazine deal, and I would have invited all of my cast members and producers. And that's actually not the life that I want to live moving forward. And hopefully there will only be one wedding. I'm hoping Brian and I will stay together forever. But I don't want to look back and think, oh, that was the one day, and it was sort of overshadowed by all of these other things and other people and money and so it's been a real journey to get from you know, being in a wild television show to where I am now. But I do feel very moved from it, and actually I've had to cut off a lot of those friendships. And again, that would have been hard for me, but I don't feel guilty about it at all anymore. It wasn't a sort of savage cull. You know, you can do things in a dignified way and just kind of distance yourself gradually.
I think the lovely thing about your relationship, you're like growing your business together, growing your family together, hanging out with your brother. You seem to have a lot of fun together and really enjoy spending time together.
I'm really lucky. it's most people would look at my situation and think, how can you work with your partner, let alone like how can you also work with your family members? We're in such a tight-knit bubble. And I live next door to my brother as well. And the funny thing is my business partner for my fitness stuff lives on the other side to me. So we're basically the mafia. We all live in a row. We're taking over the streets. And it's one big happy family. And I didn't actually realize how lucky I was until I moved out a couple of months ago, obviously, to do this home project, how much I love living next to my little bubble. I mean, I love my brother. And I love that he gets along so well with wine. It wasn't always the case at the beginning. I think because I've had a lot of relationships in the past and they've all ended one way, which has been bad. I think my brother's always been very cautious to get close to anybody that I date. So at the beginning, for the first full year, my brother wouldn't really speak to Ryan because he thought, oh, this is just going to be a short fling. Another one bites the dust. I can't be bothered to invest the time. Because, you know, it might not go them well. Anyway, so it was definitely a slow burner, but I think some of the best relationships are slow burners at the beginning. And yes. now they're best friends and I'm the one that gets left out. I'm the bore, basically. They have a lot of fun together and I'm the serious mom character.
Oh, that's so good. And even I was looking at your Pocket Sport brand as well, and I feel like your personality comes out in that. It's so beautiful. And you've spoken in the past about going on a journey with that, so that mm-hmm. you know, it's evolved, and like yourself, you know, you've evolved over the years. So has it gotten to a place now that you're really happy with it?
Yeah, it's I can hear my brother's just turned off. It's a madhouse, I promise you. I live in a madhouse. We should get him on. I started Pocket when I was at uni with my friend Ed, so over 10 years ago, and it was a bit of a hobby, a passion project. And we didn't really, you know, when you do when I listen to, because I've never done one, but a sort of business podcast, people always ask, oh, what was the vision, what was your plan, where did you want the brand to be? To be completely honest, when we set it up, there was no plan. We had no idea what the projections were going to be. We set it up purely because it was fun. And we slogged at it for, you know, however long. It's been, as I said, it's been around 10 years, and there's been many ups, many downs. It's all been self-funded. We actually have a little bit of an investment from family members. But it's been a bit of a roller coaster. There have been times when, you know, we nearly went bankrupt. There have been huge transitions from making ladies' denim to t-shirts and more merchandisey stuff. And then to finally find the activewear space just felt so perfect for us because I love fitness. I also don't really wear jeans. I only wear comfortable clothes, which is why you'll see me wearing a lot of dresses. I like baggy things. Comfort is confidence, in my opinion. So it was a really natural transition, especially as I started actually working out a lot. And then, it was the dream job, really, to be able to create clothes that I really wanted to wear. Mm-hmm. Having worn so much activewear in the past that would maybe go see-through or show sweat patches or show your pants when you're doing a deep squat, I see other people in the gym suffering with those issues. And luckily, our stuff is such good quality. You know, it's not a brand that adapts according to what is fashionable out there at the moment or what is selling really well. There have been moments of madness where I thought, oh my God, but you know, everyone's buying and wearing seamless bum sculpting leggings. And I'm so glad that we stuck to our guns and didn't go down that route, because our stuff is all about the quality, and mm-hmm. we've stayed on in our own lane and stayed on track. And I think that served us really well. And we did have a really, really successful year last year. And I think that's a lot down to the fact, well, I don't want to say it's all down to COVID, but it's a lot down to the fact that I loved wearing the stuff. Like, I had a lot more input in the design, and and the brand's really going from strength to strength. And actually, we made a lot of changes. I think up until, I feel like I'm talking about lockdown and COVID a lot. Sorry if it's really boring, but
no.
Like, one of the good things that came out of last year for us was that it forced us to, again, slow down and really look at the brand from a different perspective. And before that, Ed and I, my business partner, had never really worked in the, we never really had an office and we weren't doing regular meetings. But during lockdown, we would speak every day on Zoom. And it just really reconnected us. And then we also decided to kind of restructure a bit and invest a bit into employing other people, which I think is where all the success comes from, because you can't do everything yourself. We were spending days on Adobe InDesign trying to do designs ourselves with zero experience up until last year. And so now, yeah, we've built a really lovely little team, predominantly women, which I love, because I hang out with way too many men outside of work.
I think when you put love into something, you can really see the payoff from that.
And every design is something that we've worked really hard on. Like it's a very specific process. Each product that we bring out, we've probably worked on for a year. It's the opposite of fast fashion. We just, as I said before, we're not reactionary. We decide on something that we love and that we want to do, and then we go through quite a long process to make it happen. And the process is getting even longer now because we are trying to become a more sustainable brand too, which isn't something that you can click your fingers and it doesn't happen overnight. You know, we've built up a really loyal customer base that love our product, so then to go and move towards a recyclable material is such a risk, because how do you get, unless you know, you make however many pairs and then do like a little beta testing thing, or you send, you know, lots of product out to people to test and make sure that they love it. It is it's a bit of a challenge of ours at the moment, but we're definitely getting there. So I would love to send you loads.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I see you in it. I'll never look like you do in those beautiful clothes, but thank you so much. I'd absolutely love to wear it.
Babe, I think you would look better.
When you said at the start that you listen to podcasts and it's kind of like a form of self-care for you, can you recommend any to us?
So so many different ones for different things, but I would say I love Dr. Chatterjee's for sort of health wellness, but from a very sort of sciencey perspective. He gets in really premium guests. I don't know, they're all very established in their field, but I've actually weaned myself off that a little bit, because I think that was what was causing me the sort of anxiety, feeling that I wasn't, you know, I didn't know all of this stuff. But yeah, I'll listen to the bite-sized clips of that. I think that they're great. So they've got 15-minute clips. Okay. That are nice little digestible chunks. I, you know what, I love Louis Theroux's podcast, and I love how real they are. And before doing this, I thought, oh, what am I going to do if I suddenly need the loo, or if I get really hot or something really bad happens? And in his podcasts, you know, Helena Bonham Carter will just have, you know, a crisis or something halfway through, and Louis will just go, oh yeah, Helena's off. She's just decided to leave the room, which always makes me laugh. And I think it's so, and what he does really well is he does make you realize how normal we all are as humans.
Yeah.
He normalizes the weird behavior. And I'm actually really excited to listen to yours. And the only reason that I didn't before was, again, because of this slight fear I had that if I listened to your podcast before I came on it, that it would make me really nervous.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I would be honored if you listened. I think you'd especially like my episode from last week with Claire Solon. She's an amazing girl who's gone on such a journey over the last 10 years, but come to a place where she knows how to fill up her own cup and keep herself well, which I think is exactly like the journey you're on, you know. And I didn't know what to expect coming into this podcast. I mean, if you can see my page here, I've two full pages of questions, because, you know, when there's someone in the public eye, I didn't know if you were going to be guarded, and that would be perfectly okay with me. I had loads of other questions to ask you, but I had no expectation, and I'm seriously so grateful to you for opening up to a stranger and to my audience. It has been a beautiful hour. I took so much from it, and it's just been so nice to get to know you and hear you speak.
Thank you. That's so lovely. I also made loads of notes because I was so, it's funny, you'll probably say that I sound really confident and once I get talking, I can't stop talking, but I was really nervous and you have actually helped me now because this is my first ever podcast. I now feel good about it and I feel a bit more alive and I feel like I can do it again, which is a really big thing for me. So I'm really, really grateful that you've had me on and that you've been so lovely.
I hope that maybe this time next year you'll come back on. You know, as we both know, we're evolving through life and every year brings new experiences and you're about to go on an incredible journey. So I would love if you consider coming back on this time next year just to have a little catch up or maybe come over to Ireland and do a show.
That. I would really like that. I haven't been to Ireland in so long. And yeah. I'm definitely due a visit. I think that would be really nice. I would love, it's funny, I feel like I know you now and I do want to hang out and organize a lunch. And I think we have so much in common. And your story is, I mean, far more incredible really than mine. And yeah, you're an inspiration. So hopefully we definitely get to have a lot more conversations in the future. I would love that.
Thank you so much, Louise. And I look forward to following the rest of your year and I'm really enjoying this gorgeous side that you're bringing to Instagram at the moment and you're so authentic and speaking your truth and it's beautiful to watch. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Lloyd's Pharmacy. The Good Glow Wellness Program is now online, based around my pillars of self-care. This online course is a guide to better holistic health. For a limited time, the course is down from 85 to 69 euro and you can head over to thegoodglow.ie for more information. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review and I'll see you next week.